Well, had Hooley any recollections of any other funny things that happened to him on the way to the studio?
The only time I ever was late to a recording session was for Decca. And I used to have the housekeeper at 7 Bailey Street. She lived on the lower floor and would ring my doorbell. And I had arranged with her to ring the doorbell a certain time to wake us up. We did not hear the doorbell. I also had an arrangement with the telephone operator. They used to be men then in London, and I didn't hear the telephone ring, and something happened to the alarm clock. I used to have a system of three ideas, such as I just mentioned, to wake me up. None of them worked. Anyhow, I'm sound asleep, sawing through a giant redwood, when the telephone rang, and it was the Decca Studios calling. "Where are you?" I said, "Sorry, I overslept." I said, "I'll hop into our cab and be right down there." Of course, it was quite a ride from Chelsea to Chelsea from Bailey Street off Tottenham Court Road. So in those days, the cabs were rather old-fashioned in my eyes, and they were old men driving these cabs. I bet he was 75 years old or maybe older. So we're riding along, and right in front of Buckingham Palace, it was in the winter time, there was glare ice, and while there was not much traffic there, we spun around three times, and no accident. I didn't say anything. I'm sitting in the back. He didn't say anything. He was unflappable, and so was I. But he headed in the right direction. Nothing said. Right in front of Buckingham Palace. There's plenty of room there to do that. We went around three times on that glare ice. Nothing happened. So we arrived at the Chanel Galleries. I hop out, rush inside. They had made a balance test. Dennis Ratcliffe, he had made the balance. He was on second trumpet, but he could play first. Good trumpet player. They had made a balance without me. So I walk in cold, and my trumpet was always tuned to 440, and the pianos were all the same in our studios. So I didn't even tune up. And we made a master. I didn't make any tests or anything. I read it off at sight.
And that was on January the 3rd, 1930. The band made six titles that day, of which I only have one I can play you, but it features Hooley in a lovely little solo, a Carol Gibbons song called Peace of Mind.
When the lease is signed for a home of our own. What a trouble through, joy will bubble through, and we still capital W. We'll have peace of mind, hand in hand and alone. Life will be rosy, comfy and cozy, happy the live long day. Work will be pleasure, and at our leisure, we'll kiss the blues away. When we've done the task, in the sun we'll bask, and wonder what anyone could ask for the peace of mind in a home of our own.
Thank you.
for a chap who'd been roused from a deep sleep and been twiddled about three times outside Buckingham Palace and hadn't even warmed up his instrument. Talk about peace of mind. Well, more of Hooley's memories in just a moment. Well, the next, about his work with Ray Noble.
That was a Ray Noble date, and it was supposed to be an experimental date, or just a test date. As you know, they changed tempo in that particular recording. I didn't think it would ever be issued as someone by the Nightclub Kings. And that opening solo I take all alone, on that high C, on the trumpet that's a high C, I put in the Louis Armstrong shake or trill, the two-note trill that Louis did all the time. It can be called a shake or a lip trill. So I put that in on that after that glissando, where I glissando up into the high C. I put that trill in. But the executives, the recording manager there, he says, no, we can't have that. People wouldn't understand it. I had to take the trill out, and that's why it's a clear note. No trill or shake on that note.
When I am blue, honest and true, someone wait for my kisses, someone shows me what bliss is, honey, you know who this is, no one but me.
By Ray Noble and the Nightclub Kings, including Danny Polo on clarinet and Pat O'Malley singing. I also wanted to know if Hooley remembered recording with Al Boley in London. His reply shook me. I knew he'd made some sides with Al in New York much later, but...
I recorded with Al Boley, but towards the end of 1930, December and January, before they hit me over the head with a bag of dandruff and stopped me from recording. I know there were quite a few days that didn't get into my diary. And that's where Al Boley comes in, because I knew him when I met him in New York when we did that Ray Noble date in New York. We knew one another immediately, and I had recorded with him, whether he had played the guitar at Edison Bell or someplace too. But I know I recorded vocal dates with Al, but they're not in the diary, and that's why we haven't been able to pin them down. There were some that I missed. I can't remember the reason why, just how it happened, whether I didn't have the diary with me or it was lost temporarily or something like that. Because I noticed I have another diary with some entries in it, the same date, the same year. But nothing of any importance that I could verify anything. But I'm sure I recorded some vocal tapes with Al Boley.
I wonder just what those signs with Al Boley were. Never issued, perhaps. But here at least is one they made together in New York in 1935, in a blue and pensive mood.
Smoking my cigarette, reminiscing. Someone I can't forget is missing. Then comes a brief interlude, lifting me out of my solitude. In a blue and pensive mood, you come to me. I feel your warm embrace, and I am face to face with love that used to be. In a blue and pensive mood, you're gone from me, and only empty space is all I can retrace of love that used to be. You come and go, I never know when you'll disturb my peace of mind. I feel so low, then up I go to a paradise we left behind. In a blue and pensive mood, we meet again. Before this vision dies, oh, let me close my eyes and dream that love is sweet again. In a blue and pensive mood, we meet again. Before this vision dies, oh, let me close my eyes and dream that love is sweet again.
Al Boley in 1935 in New York, in a blue and pensive mood, accompanied by Ray Noble and his orchestra, featuring Sylvester Ahola. I was delighted to find that Sylvester Ahola still had copies of his first records of all, when he was playing first trumpet in Frank Ward's orchestra. They were made in Framingham, Massachusetts, on March the 25th, 1924, and never issued. Before playing one of them, Hooley had this to say about them.
The Frank Ward test recordings Thank you.
Say, Hooley had a heck of a lot more jazz feeling than Henry Bussey. In fact, on that, he plays those breaks more like King Oliver. I was going to mention that he'd refer to Spike Hughes as Spike Jones, but he forestalled me.
I'm awfully sorry I said Spike Jones instead of Spike Hughes, of course, on the Deccas. So cheerio for now. Stay with it. Hang loose and think clean thoughts.
Of course. On Mardi Gras, we never think anything else, do we? No, of course not. But I'm going to end this birthday tribute to a great man and a superb musician, jazz and straight, by playing something he made in Kingsway Hall in February 1930. It was the last record he ever made for either of the Furman brothers before Ramsay MacDonald's brilliant Home Secretary clamped down on him. Appropriately enough, it's called At the End of the Lonesome Trail, and it's played by the Arcadians Dance Orchestra with Charles Saxby at the organ and, of course, Danny Polo on clarinet. Sylvester Hola playing some of the finest jazz trumpet of his career on the Arcadians Dance Orchestra's record of At the End of the Lonesome Trail. Thank you, Hooley, and many, many happy returns. Well, now it's time for Tony Myatt and Barbara Thompson to take over with It's Jazz. But before I hand the mic over, next week I think I'll play some more random choice records, but they'll all have this in common. I won't have played any of them before, and they'll all be top-grade music, of course. And I'll bet you want to hear some of them again, at least. Till then, this is Brian Rust wishing you all good night from Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage popular music, and all that jazz.